You don't have to be extra super duper smart. You just have to have the willingness to learn, the willingness to make mistakes, and just pick up from where you make your mistake and carry on. Don't let anyone discourage you, because there's just so many doubters out there. Prove the doubters wrong, because that's the only way you can be the best of who you can be.
The face of engineering is changing and evolving. But who are the faces behind it, and more specifically, the women? Let us take you on a journey of an exciting career that celebrates success and embraces failure. I'm your host, Ganan Adamu, and together with The Common Room, we bring you The Face of Engineering. Today, I'm in conversation with Dr. Nike Folayan, MBE.
My name is Dr. Nike Folayan, MBE.
Fantastic. So
that was hard.
But you know what? You deserve to say it, because this is the thing sometimes with all of us is you kind of say, oh no, you know, it's okay. I don't want to say the full title, but you know what?
Right.
It's recognition for all the hard work that you've done.
That's right. That's true.
It's all the hard work, you know, and women like me appreciate that. So that's why I love the full title, because, you know, I don't know you, but when I saw you, I was like, oh my goodness, this woman is amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. So, Nike, what attracted you to engineering, and especially electronic engineering?
Okay, so I became an engineer because I loved television. And that sounds a bit odd, but it's just because I could never kind of, I was always trying to work out how you got the little people into the TV box, and that was my first interest in engineering, and I didn't realize it was engineering at the time. I thought electronics was something completely different from it, and I used to try and find out what was behind the screen. So the old TVs used to have this PCB boards, these green boards inside, and I used to kind of wonder how that turned into the people on the screens. And yeah, that's sort of why I got attracted to engineering, and that's how sort of that's what led me to electronics engineering in particular. And bearing in mind it was less popular than some of the other more environmental sort of engineering and stuff like that. So yeah.
Now, I watched an interview of yours, and you mentioned that you nearly broke the TV because you're so intrigued to find out how it worked.
Yes. I kept poking it with anything I could find. Kept poking the PCB board, because I was just like, you know, there must be something else. It can't just be this. There must be something inside of it. I've always been that sort of person, to be honest, kind of curious and not breaking lots of things. Never fixed any, but broke lots of things.
But you know what? I think what I loved about you saying that was my son, he'll probably end up being an engineer, because he's so intrigued with the radiator, how that works. He's intrigued by the computer, all those things. And I honestly nearly killed him last week, because he went and unscrewed a part. He's only 9. But he went and unscrewed a part of the radiator, and he was like, look what I did. And he was so impressed with himself. And I was
an engineer. That's definitely an engineer. I mean, just accept it now.
Oh, Nike, I was like, me and my mum were like, are you mad? Like, why would you do that without asking us? Now, and the thing is, it's like, you know, I'm a Nigerian Scouser. So, you know, what advice would you give to parents like us who are struggling with our up and coming engineers?
I think just let them explore, obviously, within reason, not breaking everything. But let them explore. Give them the opportunity to figure things out, because I think that's what really develops the best engineers, are the engineers that know that you can fail and try again and again. So I think one of the things is giving them the space to explore. Secondly is, you know, giving them the opportunity to find out about the variety of engineering, so there's different, all sorts of engineers exist. and just giving them the opportunities to find out about experiences and just being encouraging and supportive rather than deciding, as most parents do, what profession they want their children to be from a really young age. Because I, for example, didn't have the support of my mum because she thought engineering wasn't for girls. And obviously she came round eventually, but, you know, it's nice when you have that support from the start, because then you're able to figure out quickly what it is that you want to do and how you want to achieve what you set your mind on to achieve.
And that's so true. Now, can you remember the first thing you designed or worked on that really made you proud?
So I was trying to work out how you get, you know, you talk about digital signals, ones and zeros. So I was trying to work out how you could simulate that sort of thing. And I can't remember who suggested, you know, it's like a switch on and off. So what I did was I went about and looked for a circuit for switches and designed a system where I could kind of turn it on and off as and when I wanted. So that's how... That's the first thing. It didn't quite work the way I wanted it to, but at least I felt a sense of achievement going around saying to people, oh yeah, you know, if I switch this on, I get 1000, 1011 and so on. So yeah, so that's what I did, and that's how I was able to kind of feel like I'd done something. I felt a sense of achievement. It's not like it did anything, but you know, that sense of I'm a proper designer now.
Well, this is it. And I think one of the things I really love about engineering is that it allows you to celebrate failure, because it's all about trial and error. And
that's right.
You know, and I think in society, we don't celebrate failure enough. And I think engineering allows you to fail and take it to the next level and just keep on taking it to until you achieve what you need to achieve.
That's right. I mean, an engineer that gets it right, that, you know, first time always ends up deciding that that's not the best option and redesigning it again. So that's why you have the constant technological changes on everything, because even the best product is, you know, someone else is thinking, I can design this better, I can make this do this, it can go faster. So, yeah, it's great in that sort of way. I always say it's great in the sort of way that medicine isn't, because you can't break people and put them back, but you can break equipment and you can put it back and it's all right.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Now, I want to move on to your MBA. Can you remember what it was like getting that letter?
To be honest, it was kind of a bit of a surprise. I wouldn't say shock. It was more like a surprise. It was like a, oh, okay, so all the hard work, you know, actually means something, not just to me, but to others as well. And to be honest, I personally saw it as an achievement for the organisation more so than myself, because there's just so many people in the background doing all the hard work. And one being my brother, Ollie, and that we started the organisation together. It just felt like sense of we worked really hard, and you know, people started to notice. It was fantastic. It was fantastic, to be honest. But at the same time, something behind your mind that talks about, you know, the challenges around the word empire and so on and so forth, so you're thinking about that as well.
That seems to be a big conversation that always comes up, especially within the African and Caribbean community, and especially British African Caribbean community as well. It's like, do you accept it? Do you not accept it? What does this mean? How will people look at me if I accept it? So you didn't take it lightly.
Oh gosh, it just went through my mind. It played over and over and over again, and then I thought about my dad, and I thought about my mum, and They're both late now. So I thought about them and I thought how they'd feel about it. And that really helped me make a decision, you know, because ultimately they worked really hard to get us to where we are today. So, you know, they kind of take priority over
a lot
of other things. Yeah.
It's so true. Now, so you mentioned, so you co-founded the Association for Black and Minority Ethnic Engineers with your brother Ollie. What was the reason behind that? And I'd love for you to actually even talk me through that conversation.
Okay, so this all started off at a time when, obviously, there was a lot of, particularly in London, there was a lot of talk around gang culture and crime and so on. And then at the same time, we were kind of in jobs where we realised that there weren't people at leadership level that looked anything like us. So at that time, I think Tony Blair kind of, there was an article in The Guardian and lots of other papers where Tony Blair said black culture was responsible for crime. And that really kind of got us thinking that, hang on a minute, we're either in the wrong jobs or, you know, we should be committing crimes as that's our culture, or we need to do something about it. And so we started having conversations. And the first thing we did was we said, fine, we know quite a few engineers of the same sort of background, black in particular. And so what we did was we reached out to them and we said, you know, we have this idea. Do you know any role model? Are you mentoring anybody? Blah, blah. And at the time, everyone was like, yeah, this is a great idea. You know, let's get involved. And then we called the meeting, and the first meeting, you know, we sent an email out to about 50 people. And the first meeting, only 5 people turned up, including myself and my brother. So we thought, hang on a minute, there needs to be, but the meeting was still great. Everyone was still enthusiastic and still saw the reason and the need to kind of get involved and make a difference. And that's how we started, and that's about 13 years ago now. And the organisation has grown. We set up a chapter in the Midlands, and we set up another chapter in Scotland, which Ollie kind of leads. And you know, it's just amazing to see that some of the young people that we're talking to back in 2009 and so on are now kind of working as engineers in industry.
Brilliant. Yeah. So what are some of the achievements, would you say, of AFBA UK?
Well, at the moment, we've obviously reached over 10,000. We have over 10,000 beneficiaries nationwide. We've been able to kind of help people, obviously, apart from secure jobs, placements as well. You know, we've been recognised in all sorts of ways. We're the reference point for most engineering organisations, so the Royal Academy of Engineering, even the Department for Transport and so on, they recognise what we do. And now we're getting more involved in diversity policies and agendas within engineering organisations and so on. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey to get to a point where we started off as, why do you need an organisation for black people to tell us what we need to do, how we need to do stuff, and so on. So yeah, there's just so many achievements. And for me personally, it's when you meet young people that have been impacted by our reach and our program, and you know, you just see, oh, you know, I went to an AFB event and now I'm doing X or Y, or you know, I've had a mentor from AFB and I'm doing, you know, that for me means so much more than anything else.
One of my questions really as well is, you know, you've achieved so much with AFBA, but obviously there's more that you want to do, because diversity is still a big issue within engineering, especially in the UK.
Yes. Oh yes. There's just so much that needs to be done. At the moment, we're only the industry, only 9% of engineers are from ethnic minority backgrounds. You know, the least represented Black Caribbean and Bangladeshi communities. And I think that there is a lot to do in that space to kind of engage with why, or, you know, we're constantly looking at research and on impact of our programs and how we can expand it to areas that really need it and the support that's really needed. 30% of engineering graduates are from ethnic minority backgrounds. You'd expect that the industry would have more than 9% that we have. So
exactly.
There is an issue around recruitment. There is an issue around retention. There is a bigger issue around willingness to be open about these issues and talk about what's actually going on when companies set diversity agendas, because it's not just about recruitment, it's about how many of your board members are from ethnic minority backgrounds. At the moment, AFB did some, looked at 100 engineering companies, top engineering companies in the UK, and only 0.2% of them have anyone of Black heritage on their board. Wow. And even, and I think it's about altogether, including the Asian community, so every BAME, it's not even up to 5%. It's about 2%, 2.5%. If they're leaving, why?
Well, this is it, isn't it? Because, you know, I've been in the media industry now for, goodness, nearly 20 years, and I do find that we have all these initiatives, all these positive impact and, you know, positive discrimination and all these things. Yeah. And they get us in. And when I say us, I mean, you know, Black and Asians, they get us in. But the issue is retention, because the environment is not sustainable. The environment, you know, a lot of people don't feel like they're wanted, you know, so they feel uncomfortable. And to them, it's like, well, why do I need to stay? I'm going to go somewhere else, or they end up going abroad. You know, so we have, you know, in all organisations, we have to look at the culture and why a lot of us are not staying. So, you know, so in terms of your route into engineering, what was your route into engineering?
I went to typical route, so university degree, and then I went and I worked for a while, and I don't know if I didn't enjoy my working for a while, but I went back to university, and I studied towards a PhD. Now, the reason why I did the PhD is because it was offered to me as a job. So it was a job doing a PhD, because there was no way I could have afforded it otherwise. So I did that, and after that I thought, you know, I'm stuck in this this lab doing all this stuff, and it's great. I'm a people person. I like to talk to people, and I like to be involved. And so that's when I got a job with an engineering consultancy. And I've been working in a few consultancies so far. But yeah, essentially just university route, and then, you know, jobs and you know, obviously the bigger challenge was deciding what to study at that university level, when everyone tells you that, you know, girls shouldn't be engineers and so on and so forth. And
and you know what, it's interesting how many women that I've interviewed who have said the same thing, where you know, parents or aunties have said, no man is going to marry you, you know, if you're the engineer.
Oh gosh, yeah. Well, you know, do you want to be working outside? Are you sure you want to work outside? It's a dirty job, or, you know, just all sorts of misconceptions, or you know, you could get electrocuted, because I said I wanted to be an electronics engineer. You know, you could get electrocuted. You don't want to do that. You know, it's not good.
It's honestly the things that go through their heads absolutely baffles me. And it is, and it, you know, and it's that thing as well where, you know, in some cultures, it's like, you don't want to be, you can't appear to be more clever than your husband or your partner. You know.
Oh yes. It's like, yes. It's a thing that you don't. I do clearly remember. It's like, why you want to do a PhD? That's just a bit, you know. Yeah, you know, you should be focusing on this and you should be focusing on that. And you know, I do remember a friend of mine actually saying to me, "This is not a good idea, because, you know, you'll never get married then, you'll never have children then, you'll never." It's ridiculous, really.
You know, young women need to see that. We can do this. You know, obviously there's barriers, but we can fight through it, you know.
That's right.
And I'm a single mum. I've got a little boy, you know, who's 9. I'm lucky that I have my mum that helps me a lot. So I'm able to do the things that I can do. But then, so for you now, being a new mum, I bet you've got loads of ideas going on in your head about what you want to do or change.
Oh my goodness. So much needs to change. I mean, I went back to work and something happened that just made me realise that there's a lot more to be done. Because on a week after I got back, someone talked about going on site and ladies' boots. So there's boots on your sides and you can go on site. After I'd said, you know, I don't think I'm able to go on site just yet. You know, just the attitude of people, just not even just the simple attitude of being a bit more sensitive to how people are feeling and how people are experiencing the world would help. And obviously more support for parents, I mean, in general, more support.
I found that I thought I might relax after having my little one. I wanted more stability and all these things. But actually, that's been a lot more adventurous. You know, a lot more adventurous. And it's like, no, this is the type of world I want my son to grow up in. And that's how I've made every single decision going forward now.
You know, what kind of world would I want my son to grow up in? And, you know, just creating a world that is better for them, because it's fairer and it's more equal, you know, would be nice. You know, it's idealist, but that would be nice.
Exactly. And they and for them to have a smooth ride, at least more smoother than what we had anyway.
That's right. Definitely.
So my final question is, what would you say to anyone considering engineering, especially from the Black community and especially young women as well?
Say, I want everyone to be an engineer personally. So I'd say there's an engineering for you. You just need to find the right one. And so don't let anybody tell you you can't, you know, because you can. If you want to, you can. And you don't have to be extra super duper smart. You just have to have the willingness to learn, the willingness to make mistake and just pick up from where you make your mistake and carry on. Don't let anyone discourage you, because there's just so many doubters out there. But prove the doubters wrong, because that's the only way you can be the best of who you can be.
Because one of the questions that a lot of young people have been asking me recently is about grades, because they're so nervous about grades and getting into the right university. Can they still be an engineer if they don't get those grades?
They can. One, there's the apprenticeship route, but also more recently, the industry in general has been talking about this snobbery, this grade snobbery, because personally, I found that sometimes, you know, the people with the best grades are not the the most practical when it comes to actually doing things and logic and so on and so forth. So I think there's a space there for our industry to kind of look at how we kind of bring people in, and even universities, the way that they bring people in and the way subjects are taught, because that's the main thing. There's a lot to do. The education system at industry level, there's a lot to do, and at schools level as well, there's a lot to do to demystify engineering, because people just think it's kind of a dark art.
Brilliant.
That only a few people know about, and it isn't.
So where can people go for more information in regards to AFBE?
Well, our website is afbe.org.uk, so www.afbe.org.uk. Obviously, emails to info@afbe.org.uk, and obviously we can link people up to different opportunities. We have mentoring programs to help young people that are seeking support, and you know, we're always open to helping people.
Brilliant.
Just check us out.
Now, you know, Dr. Nike must have been an infant schooler when she realised she wanted to climb inside her family's TV to work out what was going on. And now, thanks to her inquisitive nature and wonderful activism, she's the proud, if somewhat shy, owner of an MBE. Now, I hope she and the rest of our wonderful women have inspired you on this series. Thank you so much for listening to The Face of Engineering.